John, thank you so much for chatting with me. If I could kick off by asking you to introduce yourself and tell me about the role that you play at UNICEF.
Yeah, I'm John Livingston. I'm the head of digital policy at UNICEF Australia, and my job is to spend most of my time trying to convince people, mainly governments and tech platforms as well, to make the world a better place for kids.
Absolutely. So can you tell me more about the role that UNICEF plays around young people and the online world in particular? Tell me about what UNICEF does at that intersection.
Yeah, so UNICEF's the United Nations Children's Agency. We work all over the world in 190 countries, and you know, generally we're providing life-saving aid for kids in those countries. But here in Australia, yeah, we have a really big focus on how the online world affects children and young people. And so here, you know, we speak with young people all across the country, and then we take what we learn from them to advocate towards governments and towards, you know, big tech platforms, all with this goal of trying to, you know, make Australia the safest place in the world for children to go online.
Can you tell me a little about UNICEF's stance on the social media ban? What was it before it came into effect?
Yeah, our stance is the same as it's always been, which is that we support the intention behind the social media ban, which is to keep kids safe. We're glad that's a conversation that's happening in Australia right now. But the social media ban, it's a form of, you know, what's called age restriction. And age restricting the online world, it's just one sort of small piece of the puzzle of a much larger space. And so now that the social media ban's come into effect, you know, UNICEF's focus has been supporting young people and parents through a period of pretty significant change. And then, you know, we want to know what's next for Australia. That's our focus. So where can Australia go next to, you know, actually make some really significant change that makes the online world a better place for young people?
John, with young people not having been consulted at all or extremely minimally, there was a social media summit that was held directly before this ban was announced that was held during the week. So a lot of young people couldn't actually attend. They had to go to school. There hasn't been a whole lot of consultation there with young people. What are they telling you now as that intermediary? What are young people saying about this ban?
Yeah, it all happened very fast, didn't it? Yeah, I mean, young people, you know, informally we hear from young people all across the country and they're telling us different things. Some young people aren't on social media anymore and they benefit from, you know, less doom scrolling, but others have sort of lost a crucial, you know, vehicle for connection and for support, you know, for things like their mental health. And then for a lot of kids, nothing's really changed, you know, they weren't kicked off, they're still on social media. And so it's sort of, you know, life as normal at the moment.
I think this ban coming in made us think a lot more about how young people do use social media. You know, doom scrolling and being exposed to harmful content is obviously not great for anyone, but especially people whose brains are still developing and their sense of self is still developing. But what have you learned about the way that young people actually use social media? Is it different to what we think?
Perhaps. I mean, we've spoken with thousands of young people across the country and they describe social media as, you know, a bit of a double-edged sword. And by that, I mean, yes, they acknowledge that there's plenty of awful and bad stuff online. They see awful content. There's bullying and stuff like that. But on the other side of the sword, you know, it's a place where they find connection. They chat with their family and friends, where they find community and like-minded young people and also where they find, you know, crucial support for things like their health and mental health. So very mixed views, but something that young people all agree on, actually, it seems, is that they recognise that the online world can be better, that there are things they would like to see change to make the online world a better place. And so, you know, that's UNICEF's focus.
You spoke a little there about, you know, people who do rely on social media for connection and building communities. Have we seen the impacts yet of the loss of that access for those young people?
Yeah. I think, you know, anecdotally, again, we're hearing different things. I think for some young people, it's been a positive, less time online. But for others, yeah, it's been, you know, a loss of support. I know that sort of Headspace are reporting that they have young people raising the social media ban when they call in for support. You know, and something we know from research before the social media ban happened is that there are certain cohorts of young people who, you know, particularly rely on social media for support. And, you know, these are kids that find connection in the online world where they've struggled to do so in the offline world. And, you know, I'm talking about young people who live in rural and regional Australia where it's hard to find connection. And also, you know, LGBTQIA plus kids who feel like they've found their tribe online when they've struggled to do so offline.
When a lot of people think of UNICEF, they would think about the disaster relief and access to education and healthcare for young people that you do all around the world in war zones and in disaster-stricken areas. And social media has increasingly become a place where we can learn about the impacts of conflict and disaster from every corner of the planet and quite often from young people as well. What impact does this ban have on how young people globally reach the rest of us to tell us about what's happening in their part of the world?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Ray. Like, social media is a place where young people get their news. It's where they learn about the world. But, you know, it's also a place where they respond to the world. Like, they see what's happening out there in other countries and then they want to take action. They want to get inspired and inspire others to get involved as well. And yeah, UNICEF in Australia, you know, we have a group of young ambassadors who are these sort of passionate young people that are a great example of this. These are young people we work with who have, you know, seen the news on social media, wanted to get engaged, then they've used social media to, you know, inspire their peers and other young people to get involved and help children all across the world. So, you know, in that sense, it's a really important space for young people. And you know, we in this post-social media ban world, we need to find ways to maintain those positive aspects.
You can imagine some people popping on a tinfoil hat and saying that this might be a little bit of a conspiracy to stop young activists. You know, the young people in our society are quite often the ones that are speaking out about what impacts them, things like climate change, and yet they are concerned about conflicts around the world. Maybe the government just wants them to be quiet about it. Is that something that you've heard?
Oh, I'm not so sure I have, but, you know, yeah, like, think of all the examples of great activists throughout history who have enacted change. You look at the sort of climate action space and people like Greta Thunberg, who are young people who have used the online world to sort of mobilise and be a catalyst for important change that now Australia and a lot of other nations, you know, are on board with. So it can be a really, really powerful vehicle.
What do we know about how much the ban has impacted school life for young people? I know that a lot of schools have banned mobile phones completely. You've got to either leave them at home or pop them away in a locker or leave them with the teacher at the front of the room. But do we know what banning social media for kids has done in that school environment?
Yeah, I'm not sure we do here. And as you say, that's what I was going to say. Like, you know, most schools around the country have already taken a stance to put a ban on mobile phones in classrooms. So, you know, we could sort of expect then that perhaps the impact of the ban isn't as profound for schools as maybe it is in the home environment. But, you know, one thing I'd say about schools is that we know they're on the sort of front lines for so many of these issues in the digital world and how they play out in the offline world. And so, you know, supporting schools to provide education, literacy and guidance to young people, you know, to safely navigate the online world is just as important as ever in the post-social media ban world that we're living in.
And kids do have workarounds for all of this. We've known this was going to happen from the very beginning. What have you seen about how well the age verification enforcement is holding up in practice?
Yeah, we got some, you know, limited and initial data when the ban first came into effect. So the tech platform sort of shared that they've deactivated something like about 5 million accounts in Australia. But, you know, that's a really simple metric. It doesn't really factor in whether new accounts have then, you know, gone off and been created after they were deactivated. And so, yeah, and informally, you know, we're hearing a mix of things. We're hearing that some young people have been kicked off. We're hearing that others have created new accounts and that others, you know, haven't really noticed or been affected that much at all. So, you know, ultimately, you know, the honest answer is we don't have the complete picture yet, and we sort of await the, you know, robust data from the evaluation to know what the real world impacts have been.
Have we received any indication as to when we might get some of that data? I know the world is anticipating seeing how this ban goes. Have we heard from any authorities about this?
Yeah, we have. So the E-Safety Commission, the sort of online safety watchdog, have been charged with running the official evaluation as well. They're engaging some university partners from overseas, Stanford University, I believe. So we'll start to get sort of trickles and preliminary data throughout this year. And then I think at the end of this year, you know, we'll get a proper sort of tranche of data, which shows the initial impacts. But then there's a longer term sort of multi-year part of this evaluation that looks at young people, brings other data sets into it and tries to, create a more complete picture about how the ban has affected young people. Is it affecting their mental health? Is it reducing risk? These kinds of things. So we'll start to get that from later this year and then onwards.
For those young people who were pushed off the major platforms, had their account banned, do we know where they went instead?
We can infer a little bit from when the ban first came into effect. So that sort of week and in December last year, you know, we looked at App Store data and there were some lesser known social media apps that were surging up the charts of most downloaded apps in Australia. Things like Lemonade, Yope and Be Real, they really surged up the charts. But, you know, those are just little breadcrumbs of data, informally. And we hear that, you know, some young people have been kicked off and others, they're still there in the major platforms. They're on TikTok, they're on Instagram. So, again, it's a bit of sort of preliminary guesswork at this stage and until we get to that stage where we have, you know, much more robust data that paints the complete picture.
So what's next, John? What do we plan for? How do we support young people right now when we don't quite know what the impacts of this will be?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the social media ban, putting age restrictions in the online world is always going to be an imperfect practice. We know young people are really good at the internet. There's a lot of ingenuity in finding ways around restriction and rules. So they will continue to be in online spaces. So, you know, it's as important as ever that we are trying to sort of build the skills and literacy of young people and parents to be able to navigate the online world safely, to, you know, really test critically what they see on there and make sure they're being responsible and reporting, you know, bad content when they see it. So that's as important as ever. That's for young people. Then broadly for Australia, though, you know, we need to keep pushing ahead with systemic reform that not just restricts young people from online spaces, but also protects them within it and changes those online spaces to be safer. And right at the top of UNICEF Australia's list is the creation of what's called a digital duty of care in Australia, which would hold tech platforms to account and encourage them to make, you know, systemic changes that make the design of the online world much safer for young people.
The world is watching Australia to see how this unfolds. What do you think that they will learn from us?
Yeah, the world is watching. Every country is on their own journey, of course. And, you know, I think from UNICEF Australia's perspective, we hope that the world can watch and learn from Australia's experience to see what the impact of the social media ban has been here. But perhaps more importantly, you know, we keep reiterating from the Australian experience is that, you know, social media bans, age restrictions, they can't be all that we do in the online world. They will not solve all of the problems of the online world. And so we really need to keep up the momentum, to keep pushing ahead with systemic reforms through things like a digital duty of care to actually change the online world to make it a safer place for children.
Fantastic. John, thank you so much for your time.
Ray, it's been an absolute pleasure.
And that was John Livingston, Head of Digital Policy at UNICEF Australia.